I'm truly blessed from the scripture, right? I'm really on also every time I read the scripture portion, especially from the first chapter and the third chapter, right? God is giving me new thoughts, and I'm truly blessed to read the scripture portion. Once again, I will continue to meditate, and thank you, brothers, whoever spoke it from, especially Brother Charles and Justin John. Brothers, thank you. It is the same scripture portion, but amazing, really. I just want to share my heart with you this evening, Lord willing, to understand. It's very difficult to comprehend the incomprehensible love of God. It's really, as we sang just now, there are five great oceans, you all know. If we turn that oceans into ink, earlier they used to write with the ink, now we have ballpoint pens and all. If you convert all those oceans into the ink, and then if you make the sky as parchment or the blackboard or whiteboard, and every human as a scribe, we have 8 billion to 9 billion people. Every person, if he's turned into scribe by trade, and then if you take the branch or the quill of a tree, and if you start writing on the sky about the love of God, the Jewish poet, his name Ben Isaac Niroi, he writes beautifully, poetically, and though it was by the Frederick Lehman, the lyricist, in 1869, he says, complete all the five great oceans, Indus Ocean, Atlantic, Arctic, all the oceans, right, they will be drained up. That is the greatness of our love, how amazing it is. I'm truly blessed to read those scripture portions from Ephesians 3rd chapter, 14 to 21. We'll just read one more time, and then we'll meditate what Paul is trying to convey the message or the prayer to the Ephesian saints. If you could turn your Bibles to Ephesians 3rd chapter 14 to 21. Ephesians 3rd chapter 14 to 21. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, 18th verse it says, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height. 19th verse it says, to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. The last verse, 21 verse, to him be in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. We'll have a word of prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving this blessed time, Lord, to come to your feet, and Lord, we'll learn from you, Father, from the scriptures, Lord. Thank you for giving the word of God, Father. Speak to our hearts this evening, Lord. Help us to comprehend, Lord, your love with all the like-minded believers sitting here and in the Zoom, Father. Lord, open up our hearts and try to understand, Father. Yes, Lord. We cannot comprehend, Father, but Lord, you've given us the Holy Spirit, God, who reveals us in all the deeper truths, Father. Yes, Father. Thank you for, Lord, helping us and speaking, Lord, this evening. Help us to remember all those things and praise you and worship you with a true heart this evening, Father. Lord, help us to live a life that is pleasing to you alone, Father. Thank you, and ask all this in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It starts with, for this reason, the 14th verse, to understand why Paul is mentioning for this reason. This letter is to Ephesian saints. We all know from the first two sessions of this series, Ephesian church, they are nothing but they are the worshippers to the handmade gods, pagan gods. Her name we all know, Artemis, or they call goddess Diana. But Paul, he went there and he preached the gospel. Not only preached the gospel, he is in the process of training them, encouraging them, and praying for them. That is a true leader's quality. Not only giving the gospel, not only giving preaching, praying for the saints and encouraging them and training. So Paul, after he knows that all the saints in the church, Ephesian church, they're all believers now, they are sanctified people. So he's encouraging them one day, he's reminding them the position in Christ, how blessed they are, how amazingly they are blessed in Christ Jesus, and how all they are all made, sat in the heavenly places along in Christ, in the heavenly realms. So Paul is reminding them, and especially if we study from 2nd chapter, 1st to 13th verse, then only we can understand why he is mentioning it for this reason. We meditated how blessed we are, especially the Ephesian saints, not only for them, this letter is for us also. We are all predestined, and God blessed us, and God really, he accepted us into his family, and we are all accepted by him, redeemed by him, we are all forgiven by him. So that is our position, and he blessed us amazingly, by which I cannot tell how he blessed us and what tomorrow we'll come to know once he comes, right? If we are seeing him tomorrow, we will come to know all those blessings. So he's reminding, and for this reason, because in the Ephesian church, not only the Jewish people, even the Gentiles. Gentiles, we know, they're not allowed to even to the compound area. They're outside of the court, outside of the Jerusalem temple. But anyways, here in the Ephesus place, those are all worship, idol worshippers. But God, by his abundant grace and mercies, he saved them. And then he's telling that you people and all saved, and then you made equally with the Jewish people. So for this reason, Gentiles are also part of the family, God's family, and he is the Father. God is our Father. So for this reason, I'm bowing my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he is worshiping the God. So Paul is remembering them, reminding them what was their condition, how bad they were earlier, but the current position is a really very blessed one. So this is the Paul's very best, one of the best prayers in the Bible. And also it shows his mental status, how amazingly it shows his full majesty of the his magnificent mind, how he was thinking about Ephesian saints, and then he is asking God, right, to bless them much more. In a telescope, if you see, there are four steps, one by one. If you zoom out, right, as you zoom out, you will be seeing more inner things and deeper things in the heaven, in the heavenly realm. So same thing, Paul, he used 3 to 4 steps here, one by one, the strengthening of inner man. And also, he's asking Christ to dwell in their hearts. He's asking to comprehend all the Ephesian in the prayer. He's asking to comprehend the love of God, to measure the width, length, height, and depth, and also the fullness of God. One by one, we'll study, and amazing, I'm really truly blessed. If you start reading one by one, right, how he's praying for the strengthening of the inner man. The moment when we believed in Christ, we all immediately, we will not be made Christ-like. The ultimate goal is ultimate destination to be like our Jesus Christ. But we will never be like him in the first instance instead. We are all saints, but slowly, God, he will be transforming us slowly into his image one by one. So Paul is praying for them, for the strengthening of inner God. Normally, we pray for our outer man. If we get any sickness, fever, or anything, right, we go and ask God for the healing. But more than that, right, we supposed to pray for the inner man, because Bible says, though the outer man is decaying, but the inner man, right, he's supposed to get developed or to grow spiritually in Christ daily, on daily basis. How it comes means just by reading the word of God or by denying ourselves. We have to empty ourselves. That way, right, the inner man, definitely he will be growing in the spiritually. So, but anyways, Paul is praying for that, so that only without the Holy Spirit, God's help will never become our inner man, it will not be strengthened. So he's praying for that, Apostle Paul, for the Ephesian saints. And also, if you read all, especially this part, this doctrine, right, it leads us to worship the God, as Brother Justin mentioned last Wednesday. And also, it reminds all the duties mentioned in the 4 to 6. That shows how to live a heavenly life while we are here itself on the planet Earth. So to do the work mentioned in the 4 to 6, to live a godly life, we have to understand all these steps. Then only the doctrine, it leads to doxology and to the duty. So Paul, he is believing that God is capable. He is able to do superabundantly all the above and beyond whatever we ask or whatever we imagine in our minds, right? Beyond that, God is able to provide all those things. That is the faith of Paul in God. And also, if you go to next verse, that is from the 16th verse, and then about the prayer in the 14th verse, he says he's kneeling and then praying. Normally during that time, Jewish culture, so they stand and pray. There are so many verses from Mark 11:25, the Pharisee and the tax collector, they stood and then they prayed to God. But here he's saying kneeling and praying. So why he's kneeling and praying means it shows the submission of God. First of all, the first condition is our heart must be right with the God. If it is not right with the God and you stand or you sit or you kneel down, whatever you do, I'm sure God will not listen to your prayers. The first thing is submission of our heart. When we pray with a complete submission, God listens to it. So just it's a posture during the Jewish culture, during the first century time. That's why he kneels down and completely submitting and praying for Ephesians saints. And also we have to read few verses how God made us into his family. I just want to read from Ephesians second chapter, second and 11. Second Ephesians 11, it shows our position as Gentiles. Therefore, remember that you, Ephesians 2:11, remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands. 12th verse, that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you once were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So they're all brought near. We are all brought near to the God by his blood alone. So he's reminding that one. And also from the third chapter, sixth verse, that the Gentiles should fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. In the Old Testament, so there are different theologies, I just verified, but so overall it says irrespective of your denominations and whatever it is, whether you are Jew or Greek or anybody, once we believe in Christ, we're all brought into one family. For that, Father is he's the head. Under his headship, right, we are all one. So tomorrow, that is a privilege, greatest privilege. We all know as Gentiles, right, we are not supposed to. Even they will not allow inside, but God allowed us and we have the privilege at any point of time we can go and pray to him. We have that full access. That is the greatest privilege and we should remember always that God, how he blessed us. So we are all part of that family, and when we remember that, when we have that thought in our mind, no doubt you will go and heartfully will praise and worship our Lord. Let's jump on to 16th verse. We already studied the inner man, how he will get strengthened. That is due to the power. In the first chapter, we studied about the resurrecting power, the power which brought our Lord Jesus into life. The same power is residing in us that makes us, that is the, in Greek it says dynamis. That power still, it is indwelling in us. When it's nothing but Holy Spirit God, he will make the inner man, he will strengthen and he will help us to grow spiritually. That is the 16th verse. And then when we jump on to 17th, being rooted and grounded in love, that is the result of Christ being at home once here, heart by faith. Being and grounded, this complete 14th to 19th verse, it is a single verse in the Greek. So there are multiple things, but to understand Christ's love, the prerequisite here is we must be rooted and grounded in love. So it's like maybe he's referring to, like in the biological sciences, it says to grow, the plant to grow, right, it must be rooted and grounded. When we are watering and all, then we will be, the plant, it will grow. So to understand the love of Christ, we must be rooted and grounded. Then only slowly, along with the saints, one person, he will never comprehend the love of God, but along with the saints, we can try to comprehend the full love of God. So that I just want to highlight here the love of God once again. There are so many things to talk about that. Really, it's not sufficient, the 30 minutes time, whatever it is, 20 minutes time. But God's love, it is uncaused. He normally, when we love somebody, right, if they're excelling in one area, if they're highly talented, or if they have, if they're skillful, right, then that causes to love them. But God loved us without seeing any cause. So that is uncaused love. So he will not see anything, because basically he is full of love, and irrespective of our nature, he will not see any reason. So without seeing anything, God loved us. That is, God's love is uncaused. And also it is unreasonable. Though we are sinners, the Bible says, when we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So he will not see, he will not look for any reason for dying. So normally a righteous man, he will one die, or perhaps a good man, right? If they think that he is good man, they're ready to die for him. But God, he did not see anything. There is no reason, but still, right, he came down and then died for us. Also, God's love is ending. There is nothing you can keep him from continuing to love you, because it is unending love. And as he assured to the disciples, I will be with you till the end of the age. That is the assurance he given to the disciples. So that much, that's unending love, and there is no period for that. And also it is unlimited. God's love is unlimited. And there is no, only center point will be there, but there is no circumference for that. And also we all know his love is unchanging. Malachi 3:6, it says, in this way, for I am the Lord, I do not change. And also in Psalm 33:1 says, the counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. But you are the same, and your years shall have no end. He's unchanging God, and his love, it will never get changed. God's love is uncomplicated, it is very simple. God loved us, and he sent his beloved son to save you and me. That is not complicated, it is very easy to understand why he sent his son. So he loved Jesus Christ, and the same, whatever the heart he loved, he is loving us also. That when we remember that, these are all the points. There is no reason, there is no cause, till the end he will be loving us. Remember when Jesus Christ was in the upper room, when he was washing the feet of disciples with the water, he knows that in the next moment he's going to be glorified. Still, right, even at that moment, he shows the servant heart, washing their hearts and all. I'm not saying we have to go and wash other people's feet, but it shows the servant heart. With the right heart, right, we can still love them. So the expectation here is the way Bible says in the same Ephesians 3:19, the way he loved us, we're supposed to love one another, each brother and sister. We're supposed to forgive them, we're supposed to encourage them, we're supposed to pray for them, like how Christ loved us without seeing any reason, without seeing any cause. He came down and loved us. You know his status, he's beautiful. It says in Philippians 2:6-9, though he was God, he left all the things, all the glories, reputation, and it says he made himself nothing. And then he came down and died for us. So like that, when we empty ourselves, and when we take the role model of our Lord Jesus Christ, that helps us to love other believers, God's people. So that, I just want to read that one, and then just wanted to give on the final point on the fullness of God. Normally fullness of God is nothing, but it's very difficult to miniaturize the fullness of God, because he is God. God is infinite. But to understand the totality of God here, so Bible says, I remembered Alexander Kurian uncle few years back on one of the Saturdays, he mentioned about this. It's a Greek word, pleuremo, that is nothing but fullness of God. So Paul is praying for the Ephesian saints, like how God has the fullness, he's praying for to have the same kind of fullness, the totality. That is very difficult, but how that comes means, I just want to highlight, pleuremo is nothing but fullness, or the completeness or perfectness. How it comes means, one beautiful illustration uncle mentioned, I thought of forgetting, but I never forget about that. He took a jar, contains the pebbles, and then if you try to pour the sand into that, because of the pebbles, there is a gap among the pebbles. You can still pour the sand into that jar. When you shake it, right, still some more you can share. In the reverse way, when you fill that jar with the sand, and then when you try to put the pebble one by one, it will not take, because the jar, right, it is full of sand. Same thing, fullness of God is nothing but when our heart is full of Christ, it will not allow other things. Normally, we carry so many things in our mind. We run so many threads in our mind. We are hypocrites. We think very dirtily. But because we allow all these things into our mind, so we supposed to give that place to our Lord Jesus Christ. When He indwells in us, when He is occupying fully our heart, there is no scope for other things. That will not, the impurity, it will never enter into our mind. That is called pleremo. Paul is praying for that kind of fullness, that kind of totality. Totality is nothing but His attributes, His character, His perfection and His holiness, His power, His love. All those things, right? It's very difficult to show all those things. That is the character, attributes of God. But Bible says Christ, He reflected all those things. So Jesus Christ is nothing but God. Few verses I would like to read. From Colossians 1:19, it says it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Christ. When you see the Christ, how He displayed the love, compassion towards others during His time 2000 years back, then we can understand it. To study the God's attributes, if we study our Lord Jesus Christ, that is sufficient. He is our best role model and He's shown how the totality is supposed to be. So the good example here is when we have, Paul is praying for the indwelling of Christ in us. So if He indwells in us, then we will have the full totality. I just want to tell about one story to understand this one. There was a king. His son was saved by three young men in the forest from the wild animals. King knows, he came to know that his son, one and only son, saved by those three young people. So he called those people, all the three young people, right, one by one, and asked, "You people saved my son. If you want anything, I'm ready to give you because you saved my son." So the first young person, right, he came and asked, "Oh king, I do not have job. If you give me the job, I can take care of my family." So immediately he shown the compassion and he gives the job. The second person, he asked for the house. "I do not have the house. Could you please give me, sanction me one house?" Immediately sanctions. The third young man, right, he was very silent and he was not asking anything. And then the king, he says, "You know, I'm the king, and if you want half the kingdom, right, I'm ready to give you. Why are you silent? Ask something, I'm ready to give you." Then he says, "King, Your Excellency and Highness, I do not want anything from you. I'm not deserved to take those kind of things from you. But my humble request is, if you can come to my home once in a month for the dinner or lunch, that alone is sufficient to me." He says he loved himself and king, right? Immediately he gives that whatever the wish he asked. And then the month, right, it started. And then when the day was coming, the minister, whoever taking care of all those things, he reminded king that so and so person invited you for the dinner. So and then he, when before 10 days itself, when he inquired, right, he was not knowing who was that person and all. When he checked, right, he was a very poor person, doesn't have anything, no job, no house. And then he thought, coming, a king coming for that dinner, right, how it can be? They expect minimum things. So immediately minister, he gives him job to feed him, to bring something and feed him. And then the, since he do not have house, right, for king's sake, he built the house. And also after eating the food, right, he's supposed to take some rest. No, for that he built the park. Also no lights in that village or country. So immediately he put all the lights, because if it is evening, right, king should have all kinds of facilities. So because of him, the third person, the third young man, the whole village completely got developed. He also got the job, he also got the house. The moral of the story here is, normally we ask something, "I want God, this one, that one, and all." But if we ask God to come into our heart and indwells in us, right, we will have everything. Not only specific things, not only the outer man related things, all will give everything. God gives. So He is our everything. So let's pray for the indwelling of Christ in our hearts. Then only we will have the totality, fullness of Christ. That, for that, God given us the Holy Spirit, God, and definitely He will help us to, yeah, to be like Him. The goal is to be like Christ, to show Christ-like love to others. May our good God help us to do all those things by remembering all the 4 points, strengthening of the inner man, and then the rooted and grounded in love, and also dwelling of Christ in our heart, and also to comprehend the, what is the width, length, depth, and height of Christ's love, and also to have the fullness of Christ. All these 3 to 4 points we will remember and praise and worship, O Lord. Thank you. In His name be glorified.